it's an error to think that the first chapters of the Megillah is just to, like, you know, be a prologue for the story, to give some background so the story should flow and not start in the middle, as if, God forbid, the first two chapters of the Megillah, which tell the whole story of how Vashti is killed and Esther is chosen in her stead, it's erroneous to think it's just to set the storyline. So of course everyone knows that, you know, Rashi brings that Akoshu Magdim Raful Amaka, right? So Kodesh Baruch Hu always gives the antidote before the illness ever strikes. So also Esther was already installed in the palace of Ahasuerus before Haman even rose to power, right? But, you know, but if that's the whole purpose of the first two whole chapters, so then, you know, it's just, you should just start from the middle of the second chapter, that the king was looking for a wife, and, you know, just start from the second chapter. What do you need the whole first chapter for? The whole story of Vashti, right? And the truth is that the Gemara says, black on white, that the whole story of Vashti and the aftermath thereof was very pivotal in how the Jews got saved. Right, the Gemara says, I believe it's a statement of Rava, if I'm not mistaken, the Umali Igros Rishonis, if not for the first letters that Ahasuerus sent out, there would have been nothing left of the Jewish people. Right? Because the first letters Ahasuerus sent out in response to how Vashti, you know, made light of him and didn't want to come at his request. So he said, Lios Kulish Sayra Vavesai Umidaber Koloshan Amon, and Ahasuerus sent out letters, that's it. Man has to rule in his house, you know, man's got to be king in his castle, and the woman has to follow the man, and, you know, and speak the man's language. So Gemara says that people, you know, saw that and thought the king was crazy, right? Like, that's the type of thing you have to legislate. And isn't it true anyway in most households, you know, the man, if he's, you know, if he's not a wimp, you know, the woman follows him gladly, you know. So I've got to have to legislate, the man's crazy. And as a result of that, you know, they thought Ahasuerus, you can't take Ahasuerus seriously. So when he sent out letters to annihilate the Jews, so the people didn't take those letters so seriously. They didn't, you know, if they would have taken the king's seriously, they would have even started early. They would have started right away. You know, and, you know, and they didn't start right away. And, they, you know, they were cautious about taking it seriously because of those first letters that he sent out. So you see that the whole story with Vashti and it, the king, you know, legislating these, you know, chauvinistic laws, you know, that was very central to the fact, to how the Jews got saved. So that's also part of the Magdim Refuah L'Makkah, how God sent the antidote before the affliction of Haman, right, that the whole story of Vashti and how the king wanted to make of chauvinistic laws, that how the people, you know, looked at Ahasuerus, you know, weirdly, as a result of that, was very pivotal to how the Jews survived. You know, the fact that there were edicts out, to destroy them. You know, people didn't take it seriously because of those letters that he sent out. You know, you can't take Ahasuerus seriously, right? So it's a big thing. Now, there's also something deeper. So we know that Chazal say, at least in one place, that Memuchan was Haman. Haman was the very advisor that jumped forward and said, you have to kill Vashti. And not only that, we have to legislate these chauvinistic laws. So this is Haman's, advice to the king that fortunately for us made the king look stupid. And that's what, you know, saved us from when the original letters of annihilation went out, you know, letters of the decree of annihilation, people didn't take him, say, you can't take Ahasuerus seriously, right? But Haman, he must have had some evil, diabolical, you know, plan behind these chauvinistic laws also. It can't be a coincidence, right? So he showed that these chauvinistic laws that Ahasuerus passed because of Vashti helped us, you know, and helped us survive. And by no doubt that how Haman wanted to introduce these chauvinistic laws, that's all part of the Vinafohu, how everything Haman did to hurt us got flipped back on him, right? So this has to be part of it also. We have to understand how and why, and, you know, right, there's something very deep here. the depth of the first two chapters, you know, of the Megillah, the depth of what was going on with these chauvinistic laws, that that's what saved us, and undoubtedly it was also somehow connected to Haman's evil plan. We know that Jewish people have a man-wife relationship with God. This is the whole Shir HaShirim is built on this, built on this model that the man of Shir HaShirim is Hashem, and the woman of Shir HaShirim is the Jewish people. Knesset Yisrael, the Assembly of Israel, is the woman of Shir HaShirim. And not only that, this pattern is true throughout the written law, the Nevi'im, as well as the oral law. Right, that throughout the Nevi'im, the fact that we were thrown in exile is like a woman who was divorced, or a woman who was widowed. Right? Our husband left us, God left us. And it's also the secret that even in the oral law, in the Torah Shebaal Peh, that all the sugyas of Churban HaBayis, stories of how destruction of the temple, and Maseches Gittin, right, the tractate that deals with divorce, goes as if God divorced us. Divorced us, or widowed us, he left. He left. Of course, Chazal Darshan, every time it says in Navi that we're like a widow, so it says like an Eicha Isa Ka'almana, right? The nation, the big city is now like a widow, not literally, so Chazal pointed out, like a widow, but not really a widow. I mean, God left to the point it looks like he died on us and we're a widow, but not only like a widow, it's really just that there's a separation, right? So God, he didn't really, really widow us, it's just a separation. It's like a very intense divorce, which, we know will be undone at the end of time. So the Gemara in Yuma says that likens, that in the future God will take us back, even though it goes against his own Torah of not remarrying your divorcee, right? Because he threw us into Golis and there we assimilated. So it's like we were divorced and married someone else that the Torah prohibits taking back, but in the future God will override, in the merit of our repentance, he will override that command. So again, it's always this, we're the wife, right, and Hashem is the husband, right? We're the woman, and God is the husband. Right? And being in Golis, like we said, is like the husband left us. It's like we're a woman all on her own, like a woman on her own, right? So now Haman knows that, and Haman says they're in Golis, and that's part of all the part of the prosecution that he says to Ahasuerus, God left them. You see, it's already over 70 years. Check the calendar. They've been in exile for over 70 years. It's clear God abandoned them, right? And they have no relationship with God. Yeshno Amecha, there is one nation. Chazal say Yoshnu, is one nation sleeping. Yoshnu min ha-mitzvahs, they're sleeping from the mitzvahs. They're asleep. Their mitzvah observance is asleep. So if they don't have the mitzvah observance, they're not connected to God. They're not connected to their life source. They're like slumbering. They're not. They lost that connection to Hashem, the Kitzer. It's the woman on her own is what Haman is really saying about the Jewish people, right? But you have to make sure that the woman on her own is powerless, right? And that's the whole thing over here. There's a certain philosophical, you have to look at the Megillah as alluding to metaphysical concepts, Vashti exerting her independence that I'm an important person in my own right. I'm not important because I'm married to the king. I'm important in my own right, right? I'm royalty in my own right. She was a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, right? So I don't have to listen to you. Haman's worried about that, right? Because, if that's a certain guideline in, certain pattern in reality itself, the Jewish people could also say, look, we are royalty in our own right. So Hashem divorced us, but we were once married to him, and we are the descendants of people who are close to him, so we're important in our own right, right? The halacha is, a woman who's divorced, the son has to honor her equally like the father. It's only when she's married to the father that the son has to honor the father more, right? There's certain, God forbid, I'm not saying we have our own importance outside of God, right? But, because we are really, really always tied to him, right? But Haman was he's a little bit more superficial, and he's just worried about, the Jewish people who he views as feminine, right? Oh, you know, because you know, the husband's out of the picture, right? Because they're in exile, they're separated from him. He's worried about the Jewish people having power in their own right, even being in exile, even being separated from Hashem, right? And that's really the message of Purim, that Hashem, you know, we have a certain innate royalty and connection to Hashem, even when Hashem is separated from us in the Golus, right? We have it within ourselves that we are His children. So even if we're, you know, and we have the royalty, the fact that we were once His wife, but even when we're not His wife, we're at least still His children, or we're the children of people who were intimate with Him. We have a certain innate importance that we carry with us everywhere that we go, right? So, and that's by no coincidence. The whole miracle of Purim happens through Esther, who's a woman, right? It's the power of the Jewish assembly, which is feminine, that came out. And that's what Haman's worried about. Haman is worried about, you know, the that, you know, the Jewish people, he perceives as like a woman without a man, right? He's worried that the Jewish people, right, may still have a certain power within them, despite the fact that they're in exile, because they were once married to God, or because they're the children of God, or because they're, at the very least, the children of people who were very close to God. So they have like a certain innate royalty to themselves, the power of the woman onto her own. And indeed, the Megillah is all about the emergence of that power. Number one, that, you know, the miracle happens through Esther, a woman, right? And also the fact that Purim, everything about Purim is like the Jewish people on their own initiative did tshuva, right? On their own initiative, you know, Mordechai and Esther, it wasn't in response to a message, you know, a prophet from God telling them to do tshuva. On their own initiative, they arose to do tshuva. On their own initiative, they re-accepted the Torah. And we know it's a re-acceptance of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is called the feminine aspect of Torah. The written law is the masculine, and the feminine law is the the oral law is the feminine, you know, which is, you know, because the Torah Shebaal Peh is in us. It's inside of, it's part of the assembly of Israel. So it's the feminine aspect, because we're the woman, and the Torah Shebaal Peh is in us. The Torah Shebichsav is in the books. The Torah Shebichsav is the prophecy, which is God speaking through the mouth of Nabi. It's on God's side of it, right? The written, the oral law is on our side of it. It's our svara, it's our chidushim, and it's also carried within us. So everything about Purim is the power of Knesset, the power of the assembly of Israel, the power of the woman of Shir HaShirim. And Haman wants to suppress the power of the woman, because the power of the woman over here is the aspect of the power that the Jewish people had. They want to make sure that power is recessive and it's trodden upon, right? And again, that was part of the Nahafochu, because he went so far to legislate, you know, chauvinistic laws to push down the woman, right? So that also worked against him, that, you know, people said it's a crazy thing to legislate, so we can't take him seriously when he says to annihilate the Jews either. Right? But that's the amazing depth over here. He wanted to push down the woman of Shir HaShirim, right? The woman, because he was afraid of the woman of Shir HaShirim, right? And it was, again, the woman and that power of the assembly of Israel that it caused, it was a catalyst for the full emergence. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. It was the catalyst for us to unleash the power of the assembly of Israel, the full power of the woman of Shir HaShirim came out in response, and that's what defeated Haman.